This is episode 137.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips on where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. And no matter what type of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you are just dreaming about getting an RV someday, well, this show is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So we welcome you and are honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, this is episode number 137 being released April 26, 2017. But as we like to say in the biz, it's evergreen, meaning you can listen to this over and over again as many times as you want. And with the return of spring and warm weather out there, that's what we're experiencing as we record this, many RVers are making their very first trips to the great outdoors this time of year. And seeing wildlife out there is always exciting, especially when we encounter those beautiful, cute little newborn baby animals that are out there in the wild this time of year. But how is the best way to behave when we come across these little critters? Too many people make too many mistakes when encountering wildlife babies. And this week, in our interview section of the podcast, we're going to talk to an expert who sets us straight on how we can best protect these little babies and ourselves. And also this week, lots of RV news for you. We've got tips, we've got a bucket list report, and as always, your comments and your questions. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we are about ready to hit the road. You excited?
Yes, I am.
We're going to Phoenix, Arizona, or at least Glendale, which is right outside of Phoenix. And we are going to be there. We're going to be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Super B RV show. This is all Class B RVs.
I'm looking forward to it.
And small little other RVs. There's going to be some prototypes shown, but all of them under 26 feet.
Okay. B pluses?
There might be a couple of B pluses out there, but it's curious. Pretty cool. All Class Bs from all the different manufacturers. They're all going to be there. Road Trek's there, Hymer's there, Leisure Travel Vans, Winnebago, Thor Motor Coach, Tiffin's there, Jayco. All of them showing RVs are towables under 26 feet in length. That's
well,
pretty cool.
I want to see how they decorate them.
Well, we will be doing that because we'll be there. It's from 9 a.m. For those of you anywhere in the Southwest that you can get there, come on down. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's also open Sunday, but we have to leave Sunday morning. We're out of there Sunday morning. So we're there, Jennifer and I, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we're there pretty much from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's at the University of Phoenix Stadium. That's also sometimes known as Cardinals Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Free parking, free admission, lots of room so you can bring your RV. But if you're shopping for an RV, you want to get some ideas for the RV you have, you want to see layouts, this is the way to go because you can go in one after another and see everything. We're going to try and make this available for those of you who can't get there on our Facebook page, on the Road Trekking Facebook page. And that will be on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Jennifer and I will be going live from the Super B RV show out there. And if you tune into our Road Trekking Facebook page, you will be able to watch us live. And we'll put a recorded version of it up on the blog later on as well. So we're excited. This will be a lot of fun.
I love all the ideas, things have changed and how to do things better and just little gimmicks and gizmos.
Oh my, so many changes, so many technology changes. Jan Seiner, an engineer from Road Trek, he will be there, our friend, and he will be putting out a couple of seminars about all the cool technology that makes the RV lifestyle so much more fun these days. And word has it that Jim Hamill himself, the CEO and president of Erwinheimer of North America, will be there.
Oh, good. Haven't seen him for a long time.
We'll see if we can find out. He's always, you know, really very forthcoming when you get him down to in an interview. Tell us what's happening and what's coming up in the future. So we'll kind of see if we can get some time with Mr. Hamill. So that'll be fun. And let's see what else. Oh, I have been really busy, as have you. We've been doing a lot of videos over the last couple of weeks. We have revamped, redesigned, reorganized our RV Lifestyle podcast, our YouTube channel, RV Lifestyle YouTube channel. It's technically known as Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. And we invite you to come by and take a look. I'll put a link in our show notes, but we've got a lot of videos there. We may actually do a YouTube live. We haven't done, we've been doing most of our live stuff on Facebook, where we've got something like 400,000 likes on our Facebook page there, but we may do one on our YouTube channel as well when we're out at that Arizona show. But invite people to go and check it out. We got hundreds of videos up there. We've organized them in categories, and it's pretty cool. If you're on YouTube, just look up RV Lifestyle Channel or Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle Channel, and you'll find it. It's all right there. So that's what we've been up to. Bo is not going with us to the show because we're actually going to have to fly out there.
I wouldn't do that to him. I wouldn't make him go luggage surplus.
Well, you know, our friend Camp Skunk did that with Fiona the Fearless, their cat, as they flew to Europe to pick up their road trek for their European adventure, which begins today, as a matter of fact. They meet their road trek as this episode's being released on April 26th. They're picking up their road trip, which was shipped across the Atlantic, and they're picking it up, I think, in Brussels, so... He's going to have
it's all
a lot
very
of fun.
Exciting.
Yeah.
So we can't wait to read their adventures every day.
Yep. And they'll be on the roadtrekking.com blog. You'll be able to find them there. You'll be able to read more about our trip to Arizona and the Super B show. I really like this Super B show, this idea. These Class B smaller RVs, they are the ones that are booming in sales. And there are so many really gorgeous machines out there. They're very hard to get because they're in such high demand. And this is really a great show for anybody who's looking because you don't have to go from dealer to dealer. It's all under one roof. Folks at La Mesa RV out there are putting that show on and doing an excellent job. Be air conditioned inside Cardinals Stadium out there in Glendale. So I wonder if I can wear shorts and short. I sure wear a short sleeve shirt, so I can wear shorts maybe.
Well, maybe not.
Oh, come on.
Oh, the first day you can...
All right, we'll take a look. We'll see.
A certain way.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get warm and hang out. I love the Southwest. Love Arizona. So we'll have a lot of fun. We'll meet a lot of people there. And we hope that you'll show there. If you can, listeners, if you're around, we would love to say hi. You'll find us. We'll hang out at the Road Trek display area there at the show. And if we're not there, we're out somewhere else on the show floor looking around, seeing what kind of things are happening. All right. That's what we've got planned for the rest of this week. And then we get back next Sunday and we hit the road at 4 a.m. Monday in our road trek.
And if I can talk you into it, it'll be 9 a.m.
No, it's not going to be 9 a.m.
How about after rush hour?
No, it's going to be before rush hour, 4 a.m. Get your sleepy butt up. We're going. We're going to... She's growling.
You'll have
at
to
me.
Live with me.
Well, you'll be sleeping in the back of the road
track.
True. But I want to beat the morning rush in traffic and get on the road.
Might as well just spend the night in the road track. Because you've always threatened that. You're going to drive off with me.
Yeah.
Still in bed.
Yeah. That happens a lot.
I'll have to get a onesie like Kiki.
Yeah. Wasn't that your tip last week?
Yeah.
We had Tippy's. Go back and look at episode 135 and see Kiki's onesie.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's pretty, like a onesie that a little kid wears, a little baby wears.
And I'll never forget that because she said they went to a Halloween party and she took her onesie, which was gray, and ran over it a couple times with her car so she went as roadkill. Very creative.
That's Kiki. You have to meet Kiki. She goes to a lot of our road taking gatherings. She's
great. A lot of fun.
She sure is. She is. All right. Are you ready to get to work, my
I
dear?
Am, so.
All right. Here we go.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
The RV community is a very sharing group of people. And one of the most enjoyable things for me is Mike and I travel about reporting on the RV lifestyle is hearing from members of our RV community who have great tips to pass along. So it is today with one from Tom from Ontario who has a suggestion about choosing a mattress to put on our bed. Specifically, Tom mentions the Therm-a-Rest type of mattresses, and he has five reasons why it may make sense for your RV. Here's Tom.
Hi, this is Tom in Ottawa. If you're looking for a mattress for your RV, you may want to take a look in an outdoor store. The Therm-a-Rest style mattresses are often quite thick and long these days, and they have the advantage that you can roll them up when you're done with them. If you roll them up with your knees kneeling on them, you can squeeze out all the air very easily and make them a lot smaller than they are when they're rolled, when they're unrolled. Secondly, they're a lot warmer than most air mattresses because the air is kept still inside. Thirdly, they're easy to wash because they are sealed. And fourthly, you can adjust how hard or soft they are by adjusting how much air is left in them. And fifthly, you can take them on a hike. You can take them, you can use them as an air mattress in the water. They have multiple uses. So take a look in your outdoor store for things that might work for you in your RV.
Like Tom said, you can find Therm-a-Rest air mattresses at most outdoor stores. There's also a bunch of them on Amazon. We'll put a link on the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/137. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, R-A-D, powerbikes.com, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping. Rad Power Bikes, you see them at campgrounds. More and more RVers are bringing these wonderful little e-bikes along. Why? Because they fit just about every type of rider want or need that you might have. Rad Power Bikes has four different models. Each of them can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. They all give riders the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle. You can utilize five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost or combine the two. They're perfect for people who want to get back into riding or recovering from surgery or an injury and are looking for an extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. They're perfect for campground use. You can take off and do some exploring as well with them. They're priced often less than half the price of comparable bikes on the market because that dealer retail markup is cut out. Now, here's the best part. Besides the free shipping, if you mention Road Trekking at your checkout, they'll give you an extra $75 off. RadPowerBikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Well, this is actually a listener follow-up to what we talked about. I think it was last week when we talked about the issue of how bright it is.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been a week before that. I don't know. But last in either episode 136 or 135, we talked about how hard it is sometimes. You know, you pull into a nice place in the middle of nowhere and you got all these LEDs or these panel lights for the different electronic gadgets in your RV that are brightly shining.
Who needs fireflies?
Who needs fireflies? That's right. Well, we've talked about various ways that we've tried to solve it using electrical tape or duct tape. But one of our readers, Wade, has a better idea. Listen to this.
This is Wade responding to the reader's problem about the excessive brightness from the different electronic indicators in their RV. I have a SS Agile and I wanted an indoor-outdoor weather station. I have an ambient weather brand WS2800 mounted directly behind the driver next to the ceiling and facing right toward where we sleep in the back of the vehicle. It has two levels of brightness, which you control by a button on top, but the low level is not low enough if you're at night and want to sleep. It has a 4 3/8 by 2.5 inch display, so I cut a 3 millimeter piece of plexiglass about 5 1/4 by 3 3/8 inches and applied to that some window film, the solar control film used on many vehicles. It comes in different degrees of visible light transmission, and you can pick what you want. It's easy to apply on a little 5-inch by 3-inch piece of plastic. And then, just like some other readers done, or Jennifer, I put 1/4 inch by 1-inch small strips of double-sided Velcro on this piece of plastic, which now has the film applied to it. And then I just stick that on the front of the actual weather station, which now gives me 4 levels of brightness. The minimal one is quite comfortable for sleeping at night, and you can still read it with no discomfort at all.
Well, thank you, Wade. In fact, Wade actually sent in another tip, too, that we'll go later on, how to cover up those little tiny LED lights. But I really like his idea.
And you're going to want a weather station. I can see this coming because we've got a weather station on our roof.
Yeah. I just, when Wade said the one he had, I just Googled it while he was we were listening to him. He has the Ambient WS2800, and it is really a nice weather station. It's a full-color display, and it's only $38, $39, I guess, $38.99. And it's not that big, and now we know how we can cover it up. But that's a really smart idea. Get some plexiglass, then put some of that that glass-darkening film on it, and then you just double Velcro it on. We could do that with the Pro Air display that we have as well. That's the one right by our bed.
Great idea.
Yeah.
And so, I'm glad that that weather station isn't like 350. Because I know you're going to want one.
Yeah, I do. I do. I really think that's a great idea. Well, how many times? The first thing you ask when you get up is, what's it like out there? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love having a weather thing.
I know it. But I'm cringing right now about is our weather station on our roof in our sticks and brick house. A little part fell off and you're going to be climbing up there to fix it.
Why do you cringe? I'm the one that has to climb up
there. I know, but I've got to be concerned about it.
You think I'm too old to climb up there?
Well, I don't care if you're 20. Yeah, you might slide and fall off.
Yeah, I have a weather station on our sticks and bricks, and it's pretty cool. I got all these little devices at home. I can monitor the temperature here, and I got a camera. I can see what's going on outside or inside our house as we're traveling around. That's fun. But anyway, back to Wade's idea. That's pretty good. You get a piece of plexiglass, and I guess I could go to a Home Depot for that and then cut it. I don't know how you cut it, probably with a hacksaw, right? And then find that glass darkeners and then that double stick Velcro. That would solve almost all those display brightness issues that we have inside of our road truck, right?
It would.
All right. Well, here's almost a related question, because this guy's calling about the device that one of those display units in our road truck controls. This is from Scott. Hey, Scott, go for it.
Mike and Jennifer really enjoy your podcast. Find your stories very interesting on your camping trips and your locations. Recently, on your podcast, you were interviewing a gentleman from Pro Air regarding the undermount AC units. Are those going to be available on the 2018 models? Thanks again for all your great stories. Happy travels.
Well, and you too, Scott. Well, yeah, they're available on the 2017 models. They were on the 2016 too, I think. I don't know if they come stock. I think that when you order, at least I know from Road Trek, when you order it, you have to ask for that undermount AC that Pro Air makes. I think some of the Pro Air, they started making these things years ago, and they made them first for ambulances, because you know every space inside the ambulance van was covered with medical gear, so they had to have good air conditioning in it, but they didn't have a place to put it in the roof because they had all these other things, and so they mounted it underneath, and they've perfected that really well. Pro Air is based in Elkhart, Indiana, and we visited them I think last fall, and was very impressed with the quality of their service and their factory there. And they're great. They're a little quieter than a inside mounted air conditioner that most RVs have. These mount in the back. They're totally self-contained. You don't have to worry about road gunk getting into it. That's a question we always get. Oh, what about salt and road gunk? And it's not a problem. The fan, the blowers, the compressors, all underneath the chassis. And it's noticeably quieter. Not, you know, I mean, air conditioners are air conditioners. They're going to make a lot of noise. But we've been very happy with our Pro Air, and they're available now. I think you have to order them as an option. And I think that was the thing. They have a great little control panel, and that's what we were talking about in the previous call, because the control panel, it's so easy, a little touch screen that you adjust everything, you know, the air conditioning, the heat, if you want, it, you know, it has a heating element, but, you know, you can set the temperature heat, the control, either hotter or colder. And it's bright. It's a very bright light. They dimmed it. In fact, weren't they telling us, that, you know, they told us at the factory that they called that the Jennifer light, because we complained about it being too bright. My wife is the princess in the pea. It has to be perfect for her to sleep. And she thought it was a little too bright. So they have
a little too bright.
You can read by it. No, not quite. It wasn't that bad. So now we know how to cover up that that dark. It's still pretty bright.
Even Bo is sticking his head under the skirt of the chair, trying to get some sleep.
You people see what I have to deal with out these on these boondocking trips. It's too bright. It's too dark. No, you've never said it's too dark, have you?
No, I like dark.
Yeah, we like it really dark where you can open the windows, because we boondock in the middle of no place and you can see the stars. That's great.
I love the sound of the night.
So anyway, it is available. And just ask your dealer when you're ordering it. Say, hey, I want that Pro Air undermount, and you should be able to get that without any problem at all. All right, one more call.
Mike, can you advise as to what the best publications are for Bureau of Land Management boondocking throughout the 50 states?
Well, I'm going to send you to a website, and it's actually one that Wendy, our podcast producer, found for us the other day. In fact, we were trying to get the guy who made this website on the program sometime in the next few weeks. It's called U.S. Campgrounds, U.S. Campgrounds, all one word, uscampgrounds.info, I-N-F-O, uscampgrounds.info. I'll put a link on the show notes for this episode. This is, I just found this site, or Wendy found it for us, and we started looking at it. This is an incredible site. It does not list privately owned commercial campgrounds. So this isn't what you, if you want to go to a good Sam Park or you want to go to a KO, this is not what you look for. But if you, like us, are into state forests or U.S. forests, national parks, national forests, or BLM land, like our caller's asking, this is the site to go to. They have 13,000 of these public campgrounds, not just in the U.S., but also in Canada. And I really like the fact that all of these are vehicle accessible. In other words, you can drive your RV to the campground. Now, if you get a big Class A, I would be very careful on some of them, because you know how hard it is to drive a Class A anywhere. But for a Class B and many Class Cs, this is great. They're all accurate with GPS readings for every campground. There's always a link to whatever campground amenities they have, phone numbers, web links for the campground, for the reservation system. It has all national parks, national forests, state parks, provincial campgrounds in Canada, all BLM land, all TVA land. BLM, you know, is the Bureau of Land Management. That's mostly out west. Vast stretches of land that you can boondock on or do dispersed camping. TVA land, Tennessee Valley Authority, I think it's called. They have a lot of great land in the Mid-South. Army Engineer campgrounds, military-only campgrounds. Almost every regional, county, city, many campgrounds even owned by utilities, they're included in this. So they're open. All of them have to have at least four or more campsites. And most of them are boondocking sites. So some of them have hookups, but most are boondocking sites. So you need to be totally self-contained for them. Some of them, you might need a four-wheel drive or a high-clearance vehicle, but the site will let you know. I really like it. None of them are backpack in. None of them are boat in or horse camps. These are sites that you can drive in your RV. And it's really great. They include boondocking, no facilities, dispersed camping, which is also just in the middle of nowhere without dispersed camping is generally, there's not a campsite per se, but you know, you can see where you can set up your rig real easy. Anyway, just go check out that website. I'll put a link. It's a really neat site. I guess the guy spent years doing it, and he's dead. The guy who did this died recently, and his son is now taken over the site, and I think he's going to redesign it. But the information is invaluable, and I think that you will find it truly an amazing thing to have. All right, those are our questions this week, and if you got a question, if you got a comment, we would love to have you be on the next edition of the podcast.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the rvpodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri, and their partner dealerships Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada. Three dealers, all owned by the same folks, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs that you can shop from three different locations. So if you are in the market for a Class B RV, as we've been telling you, they're in high demand. That's why you will want to check in with these three dealers. Go to their websites, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. They specialize in Class B RVs from all of the major manufacturers. They have new and used models in stock on the lot right now. Road treks, pleasure ways, leisure travel vans, Class B, B pluses, other small motorhomes. Check them out. Here's Dan, the van man, to tell us what they've got going on this week.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we'd like to invite all your listeners to our 47th anniversary show. That's going to be June 15th, 16th, and 17th. We'll have a lot of the factory reps here to display their units. Come by for some great savings. Hey, we also have some great deals this week on 2016 Chinook models. These units are loaded with the Automotive Pro Air system in the rear, along with your AC RV air. All kinds of extras, everything from satellite in-motion systems to heated and vibrating front seats. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com or give any of our locations a call today, 1-800-467-3905.
They say every dog has its day. In this part of the podcast, it's time for tips, resources, and travel advice about bringing pets on our RV adventures.
Our dogs can get so enthusiastic. In fact, that's what we call Bo, our Norwegian Elkhound, Mr. Enthusiasm. But when that enthusiasm results in excess barking, that is definitely not a good thing, especially when we're in an RV campground. So how's the best way to curb your pet's enthusiasm and get them to quiet down? Here's some suggestions from pet trainers and experts. Number one, don't yell at your dog to be quiet. It just sounds like you're barking along with him. Number two, use one word, firmly spoken, as a command to stop barking. Quiet is probably the best. Number three, if he doesn't obey the quiet command and continues to bark at passerbys when he's outside, bring him into the RV or house. Never leave your dog outside unsupervised. Number four, break his focus. Put yourself between the dog and whatever he seems to be barking at. Toss him a ball, move in the opposite direction, talk to him, get him to look at you and preoccupy him. Number five, keep your dog tired. Make sure your dog is getting sufficient physical and mental exercise every day. A tired dog is a good dog and one who is less likely to bark from boredom or frustration. Want more tips to stop barking? I'll put a link up on the Traveling with Pets section of the show notes page for this episode at roadtrekking.com/137.
The pet tip of the week brought to you by Dozer's Dental Chews, an all-natural, healthy treat your dog will love, available direct through Amazon, retailers, and pet shops across the USA.
Hey, if you go to your pet shop, ask if they have dozers. If they don't, tell them you need for them to get it. Dozers, D-O-Z-E-R-S. Why? Well, for one thing, it's 100% all natural ingredients. These dental chews, which are also a great pet, they're actually Bo's favorite pet, are gluten-free. They're made in the USA. That's important because of quality and the manufacturing process. If you've looked at pet recalls, pet food recalls, pet treat recalls, you'll note a common denominator is many of those recalls originated in factories overseas that made these pet products. But dozers made in the U.S., right in upstate New York, they're low in fat. No artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no artificial preservatives. They clean your dog's teeth. They reduce plaque as the dog chews his dozer. They freshen their breath, and they're different than any other treat your dog has. He will absolutely love them. They're great. They're available in 2-packs, 4-packs, or big bags of them. They come in different sizes for small dogs, medium dogs, large dogs. As I say, they're available everywhere. Amazon, retailers, pet shops across the country. Dozers, D-O-Z-E-R-S.
Well, nothing's prettier in spring than being outside in the woods or on a mountaintop someplace. And as you're, if you're hiking around this time of year, chances are you're going to have a great chance of encountering some wildlife. The wildlife's out moving around. It's spring. They're glad to be out in the nice weather, too. And it's also the time that many wild animal babies are born, and you may encounter them. Every year, there are stories about encounters with baby creatures that and people do the wrong thing. They think that the baby's hurt, or they think erringly that the baby is an orphan. And so they pick it up, they take it away from where its mom was probably looking and watching. Don't do that. So many of us make so many mistakes when we encounter wildlife babies out there. And so we thought this week in our interview section, after we've been reporting a couple of those in our RV news of the week about people messing up, making mistakes with baby animals they've encountered, we thought we would talk to an expert who will set us straight about how we can best protect those baby animals and really protect ourselves, too. Our guest this week is Sandy Woltman. She is a senior animal care director, the senior animal care director at Oaken Acres Wildlife Center in Illinois. She is also the former board president of the National Wildlife Rehabilitators Association. Well, to help us figure out what to do when we encounter baby animals out in the wild, as we probably will this time of year, Sandy joins us right now. And Sandy, thank you for making time available for us. Tell us, first of all, how what are the animals that we are likely to encounter out in the woods at this time of year, in early, early spring, beginning of summer? What are we going to find?
This time of year, we already have our cottontails that are breeding. We have squirrels, raccoons, even some opossums. People are going to start seeing coyotes pretty soon. In the next month or so, they'll start seeing white-tailed deer fawn. So those are typically the animals that we'll start seeing first thing in the spring.
Now, I know out west, they've there was a big incident this week about a baby bear somebody found as well. And apparently that bear had been injured. So it was good that somebody picked him up. But what's the overarching advice that you would give people as they encounter baby animals alone, baby wildlife alone, out in the wild?
The best thing to do really is just to leave them alone, because again, mom typically will not abandon those babies. And she is just out feeding and caring for herself, or maybe finding food for those babies. If there's an obvious injury, obvious fracture, then you need to go and contact a wildlife rehabilitator to find out the best means of actually intervening and doing something, maybe the best way to capture that animal, or someone might even come out and help assess the situation and take that animal into captivity to see if it does need care.
Should they, is there any circumstances where they should actually touch the animal?
We usually don't recommend touching any animal, just because we don't want that person bitten or scratched by the animal. It's best to contact a professional first to find out what should be done. People want to go and scoop it up right away, but then they forget that the animal is scared and injured, and it's defending itself. We are still predators to that animal, even young babies. And their first line of defense is to bite and defend themselves, even if they're badly injured. And then we have two problems. You have the injured animal and an injured rescuer.
Now, there's an old myth around that you should never touch a baby bird that might have fallen out of a nest because the mother will detect the scent of a human. That is a myth, as I understand, but a lot of people believe it.
Correct. It is a myth. Most birds have a very poor sense of smell. So even if you do touch that baby bird and put it back in the nest or get it out of the middle, sometimes a fledgling might be in the middle of a road, and you pick it up and move it to the side of the road where the parent might be or would be able to find it easier, the parents will still come back. Even our young baby mammals, people think that because they touched a baby bunny or their child touched a baby bunny, that they can't put it back in the nest because mom will desert them. And that's just not true. Mom's instinct to raise those babies is very strong. A little bit of human scent is not going to prevent her from raising those babies. If it's something like a fox or a coyote, they may detect that scent and realize that they've been found by humans, and they very well may relocate those babies, but they're not going to desert them.
What about baby deer? Sometimes we find a fawn in the middle of an area that's close, you know, like a trail in the woods. I've encountered them on bikes myself that way. And the fawn may even be bleeding, making noise, you know, that bleat noise that they make. And people think that they're in distress, but I would assume that that's really just indication that the fawn is frightened.
Right. And most fawns they don't smell, so they are not detected by predators. And mom just leaves them in the woods, bedded down. They're all camouflaged, and their fight or flight to run away from predators, they don't have one. When we walk by, or even a predator were to walk by, they just stay tucked down, hidden in the grass. So when people come upon them, they believe that they've been orphaned, there's no mom nearby. They typically aren't making noise. They're typically very quiet because they don't want to attract any type of predator. But again, people see them and assume that they're orphaned and essentially kidnap them, and then come home and try and figure out what to do with them, whether they think they're going to raise them, which they shouldn't do, or they try to contact a wildlife rehabilitator. And even in that instance, again, we talked about human scent on them, we would advise that person to go put them back where they found them. The mother's going to be looking for that baby. Mm. And then she will detect the predator, being us, and she'll take them away. And typically she won't bed them down then the next day in that area.
What does a wildlife rehabilitator do when you are called in? And we will put a link up on the National Wildlife Rehabilitators Association so people can find one in whatever state they're in, whatever area they're in. But when you are called into the scene, what do you guys do?
Well, licensed wildlife rehabilitators are people that have studied basically at seminars and conferences and things, and they've shadowed other rehabilitators. We take in injured, orphaned, and diseased wildlife, and the goal is to rehabilitate them, fix them, raise them, and then release them back out into the wild. Unfortunately, sometimes animals are beyond the help that we can do, and we do have to euthanize them or put them to sleep. We all work with veterinarians. Some larger centers actually have veterinarians that are on staff and work alongside of them. None of the wildlife rehabilitators receive any funding, any state or federal funding, so we work solely on donations. So again, we like to take in the injured and orphan wildlife that is in need of our care and get them back out into the wild where they belong.
And there's phone numbers that people can call if they have a question, and they'll get expert advice. But the bottom line is don't pick up or remove or take the animal home with you. It's just not smart.
Right. There are some animals out there that have been impacted typically by man. Most of the animals that we get in, that most rehabilitators get in, have been hit by car, or their cat attacks or dog attacks, or they've hit buildings. So there are animals that are injured and could use assistance from humans. But again, when we talk about baby animals, most of them have not been abandoned. People just happen to find them while mom is out foraging for food.
That's right. There are some animals that are sort of dangerous out there. I would think bear cubs, for example. The advice for people when you encounter a bear cub out in the wild, what's the advice of that? Back up. Mom's probably close by, and mom can get really touchy.
Right. Something like a bear cub, if you're in bear territory, you really need to be aware and think of protecting yourself. And there very well may be an orphaned or an injured bear cub that someone might come upon. But again, the best thing to do is note your location so that you can go get help from a professional and then take that professional, you know, describe your story and maybe take that professional back and let that person assess the situation before you were to intervene. And it's a lot for the safety of yourself as well as for that bear cub.
How about raccoons? They're cute and cuddly when they're little babies and people tend to, well, they'll make a great pet. And I know a lot of people have made pets out of raccoons, but your advice about raccoons in particular?
Raccoons is leave them be. They have a tendency to nest in people's attics and under people's sheds or inside sheds and barns. And they're in places that people don't want them. So they're often trying to evict them from those areas. Maybe they find the cute little baby or mom moved the baby except for one. They're very cute. They're very fun as youngsters. And the older they get, the more aggressive they get, the more destructive they get. When they hit sexual maturity, they become very aggressive. They may only pick one person that they tolerate. And then people don't know what to do with them. They're destroying the house. They can't keep them housed well in a cage. They're biting. They're scratching. If they try to release that animal, then it starts approaching people for food and for human contact, and then it becomes a problem. So, again, with raccoons and all wildlife, is best to keep them out in the wild with their parents. And then I tell people, go down to the shelter and adopt yourself a dog or a cat.
Yeah, there you go. That's the best advice. I know a lot of RV people who are camping, we like to call it boondocking, out in the wild. Maybe just adding to the caution that they already should know, but unfortunately a lot of people don't follow it, is don't leave a lot of food lying around a campsite.
Right. Humans can do their part in trying to keep animals away from them by not having food or even water left outside. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not feeding the wildlife, but they don't realize leaving even a bowl of dog food or a bowl of cat food or even a bowl of water in a dry area is going to attract animals to come closer to humans. And the closer some of these animals are to humans, the more trouble that they get into having that contact. They may, if they're in a campsite for a long time and the animal becomes habituated or accustomed to coming back for that food all the time, you're just creating an unnatural situation and a potentially dangerous situation for that animal and for the people. So best to keep everything secure and safe, especially if you're in bear territory, where they come looking and they're going to go through vehicles and tents and campers and everything else looking for that food. Very strong sense of smell.
So Sandy,
they do their best to find it.
In your years as a animal wildlife rehabilitator, what are some of the more unusual animals that you have rehabilitated?
In my years of experience, I've done pretty much anything from white pelicans to bald eagles, coyotes, deer. We get just about everything up in this area, even some unusual migrants. But every case is unique, and every year to see even the same species is always very exciting to see them.
Well, I thank you so much for making some time available to us. We will put a link up to the Wildlife Rehabilitators Association, and folks should keep that handy as they're out there exploring. But good, solid advice on what to do when we encounter baby animals out in the wild. Sandy, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you very much.
The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or used Road Trek motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. We visited Sunshine State RVs not long ago and just had a great time there with Nick Schmidt and his staff. They took us through the whole facility. I was amazed to see this 172-point inspection process that every RV they sell goes through before it's released to the customer. They make sure all the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition. They even do a road test to make sure it runs, drives the way it should, and that everything is just right when they deliver it to you. And that's the thing that's so cool about them. They have probably the largest inventory of used Class B RVs from all the major manufacturers of anybody in the country. And if you buy from them, if you're from road trekking, the RV podcast here, and you're one of our road trekking regulars on the blog, you let them know that at the time you buy, and they will deliver whatever you buy right to your door with no extra charge. They have a great inventory. But the thing that is so impressive to us is Nick. Nick goes out of his way, bends over backwards to make sure folks get a fair deal and a great deal. And I got him on the phone right now. He's on the other end of the line to tell us what they got going right now. Go for it, Nick.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate those kind words. You were way too nice. This is Nick with Sunshine State RVs. We are in Gainesville, Florida. We're running a huge special right now on our brand new road treks. We have 10 or 11 of them on the lot right now. We have some Sprinters, some ProMasters, Chevys. We have every model of new road trek that they make. And our road trek rep was in last week and was really impressed with our inventory. And she said to help us move them, she was going to give an extra $1,000 rebate from Road Trek on every new one we sell within the next month. And also to all the road trekking listeners, we offer free delivery anywhere in the country. So make sure to give us a call before you buy a new road trek anywhere. I'm sure that we can beat any price, especially with the help of Road Trek and being able to deliver it for free. We can definitely beat anybody's price. And we always have our large selection of used Class B RVs. We have the largest selection in the country. Everyone we sell comes with a 90-day warranty, and we also deliver those all around the country. So check us out at sunshinestatervs.com. And Mike, keep up the good work, man. I really appreciate everything you do for the road trekking community.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, if you are a national park junkie, as we are, you have one of the places on your bucket list, I know, is Isle Royale National Park. It's in the middle of Lake Superior between Michigan and Wisconsin, and it's an incredible national park. But there's a lot of controversy there right now. It's because of the wolf population that has declined at this remote island national park. And as the wolf population has declined, it is literally wreaking havoc on the moose population, which has exploded. And there's been a new report out by scientists. The National Park Service is scratching their heads, have been looking for public comments. And what do they do? And here's the bottom line. There's only two wolves left on this island. And the main prey of the wolf pack on Isle Royale for a long time have been the moose. And with only two wolves there left to feast on them, the wolves are undergoing this population explosion, and that is endangering the wilderness area's fir trees. Actually, some of the areas, they've eaten all of their food so much that they've turned them into grassy plains on the island, a couple of areas. This unchecked growth of the moose is because the wolves have declined to just two wolves now on the island. This predator-prey balance that has benefited both species and the park's ecosystem is now in jeopardy. And so Michigan Technological University researchers have done a report, and the National Park is trying to figure out what to do. 24 gray wolves and several packs roamed the Isle Royale National Park as recently as 2009, but they were severely inbred, and the population has dropped steadily. It's at its lowest point now since biologists began observing the relationship between moose and wolves back in the 1950s. And a dip in wolf numbers during the 1990s allowed the moose to increase now to about 2,500. And then about two-thirds of them died of hunger during a bitter winter of 1996. So they figured, well, maybe this thing is going to work out. But the moose continued to explode as the number of wolves declined to just two of them now. And it's just been a real domino effect. Just another sign of the wolf's decline. The island's population of another prey species, beaver, which was another source of food for the wolves. There's now about 300 beaver on this little island national park, and that's the highest total on record. So what do they do? Well, one of the things that they're wondering about is whether they capture and then relocate 20 to 30 other wolves who are perhaps in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, bring them over to the island, bring them over there over the next 3 to 5 years. And then what's going to happen? They're going to become inbred. And so they don't know what to do. The Park Service is expected to make a decision this fall. But the problem with the wolves and the decline in their numbers and the increase in the moose numbers is now threatening the ecosystem of Isle Royale National Park. It's a lot more complicated than you'd think. And we'll keep on top of that and let you know as soon as we hear what the National Park Service decides to do. All right, out in Oregon, here's the first of its kind marijuana-friendly RV park opening in Selma, Oregon. What was once known as the Lake Selmac Resort is now called the Smoke on the Water at Lake Selmac. And this is a park that's going to provide a place for people to gather and smoke pot without breaking any laws. Across Oregon, it's illegal to smoke pot in public, and you're only able to do so on private property. Hence this RV park, this campground that has decided that, it's private, so they're going to let everybody do it. And the people who own it, by the way, say that they're going to try and open similar parks in other parts of the country as well that have relaxed their marijuana laws. So there you go, those of you out in Oregon. And let's go over to Wisconsin. Here's an issue that a lot of states are looking at. The Wisconsin state parks have been told they have to become self-sustaining. Governor Scott Walker in 2015 eliminated a lot of state support for state parks and took it out of their operating budget. And he mandated that the state parks have to become self-sustaining. This eliminated like $4.7 million of their $16 million budget for such items as staff and programming, a big hit. Well, this is an issue that a lot of state parks all over the country are now wrestling with, is how do you do that? How do you become self-sustaining when you're owned by the state? Well, among other things that folks are considering is to sell sponsorships and naming rights for trails and shelters and things inside these parks, state parks, charging a $2 to $10 premium for admission and camping at high-demand parks and trails. Increasing admission fees $2 to $4 at state parks, expanding the number of campsites with electrical service, and creating individual admission passes rather than vehicle stickers. So they're all looking at this. It's a big issue in Wisconsin. In Alabama, five parks were closed, and they had a shutdown. And finally, they're getting reopened, but through kind of like a partnership between local government and private concerns. They're doing the same thing in other states trying to find it. But if you're a big user of state parks in your neck of the woods, you may be aware of that, that these issues are going to be kind of domino affecting all across the country. State park funding. All right, that's the news of the week. And this portion of the podcast brought to you by Alde, A-L-D-E. That's the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Alde system is a hydronic system. It brings many features and benefits that you can't find with any other product. It's a silent heat, a radiant heat, kind of like the high-end baseboard heat that you get in estate-type homes. It gives you a warm, even, natural heated interior. That alone is enough to convince you to go to Alde once you experience it. It is so comfortable. It's not dry. There's not that irritating fan of the forced air heat that most RV systems have. The Alde system has great efficiency. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. And they say it will extend the life of your propane roughly 40% over the traditional forced air that most RVs have. So it's available now on a number of different platforms, NewCamp, Airstream, Road Trek RVs. When you're shopping, you tell your dealer that you want Alde, A-L-D-E, because it's the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV.
Travel.
traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Right, time to check in with our pal, Steve Van Ditter from Verizon Wireless. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike. Well, spring is just flying by, and before you know it, Mother's Day will be here. And that's why now's the time to start thinking about those gift ideas. And here are some thoughts to get you started. Well, first, you've got a busy mom, right? Well, then make sure she's got a smartphone that can keep up. The new Samsung Galaxy S8 is a perfect fit. Its infinity screen will let her see more at once and even let her multitask in split-screen mode. Its 8-megapixel front-facing camera means she'll always look good in her selfies. And when she needs a little extra help, it's got two artificial intelligence engines, Bixby and Google Assistant, to help get the job done. Well, next, moms rarely have any spare time in the day, so the more we can help her get what she needs to done sooner, the easier her life will be. And that's where the Wear 24 smartwatch comes into play. This beautifully designed device is something she'll feel good wearing, and once she gets notification of calls, text, and can respond with her voice, she'll wonder how she ever lived without. Not to mention, with its 4G LTE chip inside, she can leave her smartphone at home and still stay connected. And finally, now that we've got her feeling good about herself, she's probably ready to take a selfie. But is the lighting okay where she's at? If she has the Allure selfie case, she'll never have to worry. This case not only protects her Samsung or iPhone from the hazards of life, it really shines literally when you light up its LEDs. That's right, the case has LEDs built into the frame around your smartphone, and when you turn them on, you can get the perfectly lit selfie. Not to mention the rotating ring on the back helps you steady your hand. But with this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
All right, Steve, and somebody asked me, I got a couple of emails, did I get that new Samsung Galaxy 8? Steve was on, we talked about it, three, 4 weeks ago. And I said that was the next one. I switch phones twice a year. I use an Android for 6 months out of every year, and then I use an iPhone for about 6 months of every year. I also do technology reports for NBC television stations all around the country. My reports have been going out weekly since 1994. So I need to know both platforms. And the best way to do it is to use, an Android phone for 6 months and use an iPhone for 6 months. So I got the new Galaxy 8 Plus, got it last week, and, went through that normal weeks period where you got to make sure all your apps are right and re-enter all your passwords, get it all configured. And I'm there now. And I'll tell you, it is a beautiful phone. That infinity screen, which is edge to edge, is amazing. I did a video on it, and it's on our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. I'll put a link in the show notes, and you can go look at the video. They call it the smartphone of the year. I say it's maybe only the smartphone until October. That's when the new iPhone 8 comes out. That'll be the 10th anniversary iPhone, but anyway, it's a pretty advanced phone, and I'm impressed with it. I'll be using almost all the photos you see on the blog will be taken with it over the next few months. And in the Facebook Live reports that Jennifer and I are going to do from this RV show in Phoenix later this week, those will be shot on the new Samsung Galaxy 8, so you can see what the photo quality and the video quality is. But it's a pretty neat phone, and I'm generally quite pleased with it. All right, this is part of the podcast always brought to you by our friends at Verizon Wireless. They are the official technology provider for road trekking as we head out on the roads in our road trek and do our various blog reports and video reports and check email and update social media. We do it all on the Verizon network. Why? Because it is the nation's most reliable.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, Jennifer, this is one that came in from one of our readers. Reader named Rebecca Wilson sent this in. And I think this is someplace that we have to visit. It's Paducah, Kentucky, down in southern Kentucky. We haven't been there in our travels. We've been close by, but I bet you're going to want to go. Do you know what another name for Paducah, Kentucky is?
No.
Quilt City, USA. Quilts. Uh-huh. Quilts. Now, when I got this note from Rebecca, I had a little bit of a background because we ran into a quilt show, a Mennonite quilt show a year or so ago in our travels somewhere in Georgia. And it was, these quilts are just stunning. They last
Perry, Georgia.
Perry, Georgia. But it was stunning, wasn't it? It was just.
Yeah, my sister's a quilter.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize how big quilting is. It is an art, of course. It's a craft. It's a hobby. It's a pastime. It's an outlet for creativity. Some people say it's even a form of therapy, but it is a $3.5 billion a year industry. There are 21.3 million quilters in America, nationwide. 14% of all U.S. households are have somebody in them who is an active quilter. So it's a big deal. Well, anyway, Paducah, Kentucky, they call it Quilt City because it is the home of the Quilt Museum. And this is a destination for people all over the world because, it gets visitors from all 50 states, over 45 foreign countries. This is not just some little tiny shack in the middle of town that they call a museum. This is a huge museum located in 27,000 foot square facility in downtown Paducah. Has three galleries inside featuring exhibits of the finest quilt and fiber art in the world. Has these three exhibit galleries with exhibits that are rotated 8 to 10 times a year. So lots of times there's something new in there. They have quilts from their collection, which has over 500 works of art. So people come to see that. But this week, right now, April 23rd through the 30th, is Quilt Week in Paducah. Thousands of people are there. It is a huge RV destination. If you are anywhere in the area, get there this weekend, the 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, anytime in that area, and you'll be able to see many of these. There's exhibitions and there's demonstrations and lots of quilting information. But just as works of art, these are well worth seeing. And Paducah is a very friendly RV community. So there you go. There's one for your bucket list.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be a heck of a lot of fun. Hey, the Off the Beaten Path Report is brought to you every week by Steinbring Motor Coach. That's the newest dealer for Road Trek Motorhomes. And it is a third generation family business in suburban Minneapolis that is built on quality motorhomes and excellent pricing and service. In fact, the Steinbring family, since 1917, has been bringing you the best products and service within the transportation industry. Their sales staff has decades of experience in the recreation vehicle industry. They're now celebrating 100 years in business. It's a third-generation family business. And you know, the family's name is on the marquee. So you know there is a pride of ownership and a way they're going to treat you because it's their name that's at stake. And these guys have been a blue ribbon dealer named by RV Business Magazine. They're a top 50 dealer so many times that I can't even go over all the years that they've been a top 50 dealer. They have new and used Newmar Class A motorhomes, gorgeous, gorgeous motorhomes, as well as brand new, because they're a new Road Trek dealer, all of Road Trek Class Bs. They also have a lot of pre-owned coaches from popular brands like Road Trek and Winnebago and Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco. There's some consignment sales there as well. So whether you're looking for a Class A, a Class B, a Class C, a diesel pusher, gas, toy haul, they have it all. Make sure you visit Steinbrings. Steinbrings Motor Coach, we got a link on the website. They are just a terrific dealer. It's a family business, and they take great pride in giving you the best deals and the best service that you can possibly find. Steinbring Motor Coach.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, the RV show season, at least if you've been listening regularly to the podcast at the last a couple months ago, it would go on, you know, dozens and dozens every weekend. But now that the season is here and most people are traveling, it's harder and harder to find an RV show because people are out traveling. The one that's on is the one we've been telling you about at the very top of the program. The one that we know about is the Super B RV show. One last pitch for that. Jennifer and I will be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The show runs through Sunday at the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, in suburban Phoenix, sponsored by our friends at La Mesa RV. Jennifer and I will be there. There'll be representatives from all the manufacturers there in every single possible Class B that you could possibly see, all under one roof. Come by, see us, free admission, free parking at the Super B RV Show this weekend in Glendale, Arizona.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, that's the end of this episode. We delighted in having you hang out with us today. Some of you I know are listening as you travel across the country in your RVs. Do me a favor. Just give a little gentle honk on the horn. Don't cause any problems on the traffic, but maybe someday I'll hear you out there and I'll hear that horn honk and I'll know what it's from. It's great. We love hearing people say that, yeah, we went across the country. We listened to all your episodes back to back. Binged listen to the episodes. Well, you can do that. We're so honored that you were with us. And if you'd like to have your voice heard and be a part of the podcast, you are invited. This is a community. We would love to have you leave a voicemail message. Just go to the roadtrekking.com blog, our travel blog, our RV travel blog. Just click the right-hand button there on the blog, and you can use the microphone in your computer or on your mobile device and leave us a voicemail message, your comments, your questions. We just love having you be a part of the show. New episodes of this podcast are released every Wednesday, and we invite you to check into our YouTube RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. See all the hundreds of videos we have about our RVing. Also, you can join our mailing list from the blog. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers free every Monday. So all that stuff is right on the blog. You can find out information there in that blog, roadtrekking.com. All right, we got some traveling to do ourselves. We'll see you out there on the road. Look forward to meeting a lot of you in Phoenix this weekend. And to the rest of you, thanks for putting us in your ear. Bye-bye.